From the Draco Vista Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, unlocking secrets of writing, conversing with masters of the craft, and just having a lot of fun. It's the Dragon Page, cover to cover.
Hey, welcome everyone to another Dragon Page cover to cover. I'm Michael R. Menengay.
And I'm Michael Stackpole.
And we're at it still, doing some other stuff. Interesting thing that is kind of popping up, and I think we're going to start incorporating this show kind of generates and kind of morphs. I think we're probably going to start seeing a lot of voicemail or maybe comments
sure.
or perhaps even interviews or short interviews with authors on the topics that we're going to be talking about during the day. So the first part of this show is going to be a little bit of kind of a feedback show. And then we'll get into the heart of the thing and the meat of the show after the break. Just a little quick behind the scenes of what we're going to be doing here and what to expect.
Yeah, again, we really do want your feedback. We want your interaction. We want you posing questions because, you know, whenever anyone has got a problem in their stories, it always seems like an elephant crushing everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet other people from other perspectives go, no, just have it take a little step to the side
right.
and paint it white and you're okay.
So this is going to be that section. It's going to be that kind of here's just a quick tip of the week kind of thing.
Right.
Hey, Dragon Pagers. This is Dan the Art Man. I just listened to your latest episode and just want to say that I'm excited to hear what's coming down the pipe. I love hearing all this stuff about ebooks and everything that you guys have been covering. And I look forward to that in the future too. But, just talking about how you guys are going to be putting stuff out digitally and how Mike is going to put out his different things. It's just really cool because I think a lot of up and coming writers are looking into that now, looking into self-publishing. And so it's just going to be really cool to hear about and look forward to it. Talk to you guys later and welcome back.
Not a problem. And I'm excited about the idea of maybe as inspiring you into doing it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is the perfect time for you to start dabbling. If you've had any kind of interest in it, even as just a reader, if you have any kind of interest in it at all, you might be really surprised. We're probably not going to turn you into a best-selling author if you're just going to dabble.
Right.
But we may get you some nice traffic and some nice hits off of your website or off of your Facebook page or some other place that you put some short stories out.
Yep. Yeah, one of the things that we have talked about, too, is the possibility, and we'll just we'll let you guys, you can give us feedback on it, whether or not we're thinking about, we can send PDFs down the feed, so they would show up and you would just have to look at them on your computer or on your tablet devices. But if you're interested, we can send PDFs of sample chapters down and stuff as we interview authors. You know, we can get you samples of their work. So, you know, you can judge their advice against what they actually do. So if you guys are interested, just let us know. Just leave it in voicemail and stuff.
And there's a possibility maybe we can get some special stuff from some of our guests that we have on too.
Exactly.
Something like that. Maybe a sample chapter or two.
We'll see. You know, and publishers.
A lot of potential.
There are a lot of things we'll be able to explore and obviously be able to use this new medium to do that. So
now if you all scream and go, no, we don't want that, then we'll do something different. But I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So do I.
Hi, Mike and Mike. This is Dan in Rochester, New York. I just wanted to call and thank you for all of your wonderful podcasts on writing with the Dragon Page.
Not a problem.
I've actually taken quite a bit of your advice to heart. My second book on physics is going to come out here in just under a month, and the different advice you've been giving on ebooks and changing in the publishing industry has been a tremendous help. Looking forward to giving a shot to a fiction book here in the future. I've got a couple of Mike Stackpole's books and PDF guides on writing, been listening to The Secrets and also listening to your show, so looking forward to coming along for the ride.
Excellent.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it really is. And, I think we're going to, we keep beating on this horse here. We need to just get into it and get going. So I think we're going to take a quick break and come back and see if we can't hit some of those. What are we doing next?
Hit a live nerve.
Yeah, that's it.
Is the long drive to work getting you down? Do you feel like the other drivers want to run you off the road and beat you with the tire iron of life? Relax. Take a break. And let the fun of sci-fi news geeking ease your drive time woes. Slice of sci-fi. It's not as good as having a stormtrooper on your hood, but it's close.
SliceofSciFi.com.
Hi, Mike and Mike. This is Laura from New Jersey. I used to write book reviews for you guys and just started listening to the show again in time to hear about the new direction you guys are taking. And listening to your plans to bring people through writing and packaging and marketing, it sounded to me like you're leaving out a crucial step, and that is editing. Now, I'll admit up front that I am biased. I am an editor by trade. I'm currently a production editor at Oxford University Press. I proofread fiction. I copy edit fiction. I think one of the reasons that self-publishing got the stigma that it has and to some extent has retained is that it is so easy to go from your, you know, finalist draft to charging people money without having a professional go over it. And you can tell as a reader when you open up a book and it hasn't been copy edited and it hasn't been proofread, which are two different things. You know, traditional publishing gets a lot of things wrong right now, but investing in quality assurance is one of the things it gets right.
Yes. I guess I understand we're like, what is this, 400, almost 460 shows into the Dragon Page. So maybe you haven't listened to every single episode that we've ever done. But I know that probably in at least half of these shows, all I do is rail against unedited works of self-published fiction and writing.
I think some of that may go beyond the scenes or behind the scenes, because when books come in for review, you know, there are the unedited self-published books and those things. Look, you know, the point is valid. We hadn't specifically mentioned editing, but both of us have been really strong advocates for editing. We have recently on Twitter, someone quoted me from a show that we did 4 years ago, and he quoted me saying it is immoral for an author to put a manuscript out without editing.
Absolutely.
And I still hold that as true. The only pushback that I would offer on this is that traditional publishing doesn't always do a great job editing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all, I think, read books where we go, what the heck? You know, I mean, this is, you know, we all spot errors in books, you know, all of these things.
And you can't be 100% perfect all the time, right, but there's exactly. A level of, yeah, it's like, right. Wow, really?
But, no, we absolutely, absolutely agree, and we'll do some more shows talking about editing. Absolutely agree. You've got to have editing, and whether you pay for an editor, whether you were lucky enough to have a spouse or a friend who is willing to edit for free, whether or not you do, you have a writer's group and you do peer editing and source group editing like that, and getting it the best you possibly can, whatever expedient you choose, you need to have another pair of eyes.
Absolutely.
You know, as you were complaining in the last show, when you went with Publish America, they didn't do that.
No, they didn't do any of it.
It
was nothing. I kid you not, people. When I sent my manuscript off to them after they said, oh, yeah, we're accepting your book. And it's like, okay, cool, awesome. Here's the manuscript. I sent that thing off. I did not hear from them for a month after several inquiries of, did you get the manuscript? Did you get the manuscript? What's going on? Hello, is anybody out there? And then all of a sudden on my doorstep comes a proof. It there says, and I'm like, wait a minute. What in the hell? And it had this ungodly cover on it. I mean, you would not believe the cover that they came up with for the front of this thing. It was just clip art. Was all it was.
Right,
it was,
right.
You know, they just pulled clip art off of this. And I screamed to high heaven about that. And they said, well, we can't do anything about the public, the book, and the edit is already done. It's like, what edit? It had more errors in it when I got it back than it did when I sent it in.
Oh, sure, sure.
And there was no edit that ever happened on it. The only thing that I was able to capitulate out of them was basically changing the cover a little bit. And all I did was I got the sci-fi chick that looked like she just stepped off of a spaceship who was standing in front of a rock castle, I kid you not, to be changed to at least a period piece or at least a clip art piece of a dragon next to the castle.
There you go.
That's the only thing that I could get them to do was change that much.
Yeah.
And at least, thank goodness, that was at least enough to kind of make the cover somewhat acceptable. But I've never been happy with this book.
Right.
From the day it came out, I was never happy with this book.
Yeah, and that's and we'll certainly be able to talk about that. One of the fun things about the indie revolution is that you have a little bit more control over your covers.
You did.
Yeah, your covers and your blurbs and those things. But look, here's a really important thing that we got to discuss, because this show is going out the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of people who are going to be listening to it in the next week or two have got to be looking forward to what they're going to be doing in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, 2012 is a year when you should just tell yourself, you know, yeah, I can do a novel.
Mm-hmm.
I can get this done. I will get this done. And we are going to be going through step by step in helping you through that whole process. But the first step is this. Realize one thing is that every word you write down is a word closer to the end of your book.
Right.
Okay, so there's no excuse not to write stuff down. You know, as you were saying, you know, you've got a new phone. You can jot notes. You can write paragraphs. Mm-hmm. You know, while you're waiting for the bus, while you're on the train, while you're eating your lunch at work, you can pop those notes down.
Right.
Okay, and that is very, very important that you keep grinding that stuff out, grinding that work out.
And it is going to be a grind, because people, if you know me at all, The one thing I do not have is time in my life. With how many shows am I doing now? Five, I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm doing five shows weekly. We're ramping up a Slice of Sci-Fi to where it may become, it's a three show a week show right now.
Right.
It may become more of that.
Wow.
Plus doing this show, plus doing Romy's show. I mean, yeah, kids, I'm swamped. I have no time. If I can do this, you can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is you have to remember is that what's really important is, especially for your first draft, okay, you just need to get the words down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use an analogy here because it's very, very important. It's like digging a hole. The only job in the first draft is to make that pile of dirt.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it. The hole does not have to be neat. We don't have to finish it. It's not going to be the basement of the house yet or anything like that.
It's just going to be a hole.
It's just a hole. Okay. And the reason I like to use that analogy is this. For those of you who have the tendency to edit as you go.
I'm one of those.
Don't.
That's my biggest problem.
It is the equivalent of digging a hole, and every morning before you start digging more dirt out, you go to the dirt pile and throw dirt in. Okay?
Exactly.
No! Wrong!
I know.
Bad!
I know. That's my problem. I do that because I am a absolutely obsessive editor, and it's like I'll see something wrong, and it has to do with the fact that I'm a little on uneven footing anyway, because I feel I come at this with a little more disability than most people.
Sure.
Because I do flip things. I do get my biggest problem is not so much the spelling on words, but the order of words.
Oh, sure.
I will flip words around inside of a sentence, and instead of having, you know, gosh, I can't even make a good example in my brain right now, but I'll put it in the wrong spot.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, even for those of us who aren't dealing with dyslexia, it's like, what the hell's that word doing there?
Exactly.
You know, it's so
I'll see that, and then I'll immediately drop down the editing rabbit hole, and I'll drop back a chapter, and I'll actually read through it and try to edit and clean up a little bit before I go on.
Here's why you don't do that.
Oh, I know why. No.
Let me explain. This is even more important. Okay. Where your book ends. And we last show we talked about, you know, looking at a character story arc. You know where they think they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We know where they end up. Okay. Where they end up, or the end of the book, tells us where the book actually starts.
Okay.
And so there will be writers that will rewrite that first chapter a dozen times, okay, yeah, as they're working there. And then they get to the end, and the end means that their book actually begins at chapter 4. And all that work that they did on chapter 1 has been wasted.
Gotcha.
So make notes,
mm-hmm,
edit later. And because the ending of the book is going to tell you where the book starts,
mm-hmm,
there's literally no purpose in fixing any of that other material.
Gotcha.
Just as you get a new idea, you make a note of, oh, be sure to insert clues about this in here.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to find is this, is that when you sit down with the raw manuscript,
mm-hmm,
okay, with that dirt pile, and as you begin to refine it, you're going to pick up on other little nuances that got inserted by accident, and you get to pick up, and you're going to have to bring those forward. Mm-hmm. There's going to be little things that you're going to decide to clip, and I'll go more specifically into how to break your work down to know what you're going to be trimming and whatnot, but you'll find all of these things sitting there. I'm banging in the microphone.
That's okay.
I'm talking with my hands here. You'll find all of those things, and it'll be much easier to insert them back and to make the changes than you might think. And I'll tell one quick story about that.
Okay.
When I was doing the last of the Star Wars books, or the last of the X-Wing books that I did, Isar's Revenge, the editor sent me a fax of the cover. So it came in all grays and everything like that. And it was an Imperial walker walking through a forested scene, shooting some land speeders, something on that order. The Imperial walkers were walking in, and X-Wings were coming through doing a strafing run. That's okay. What the cover was. And a little note came with it saying, can you fit this into the book? Which is an editor saying, you will fit this into the book.
Exactly.
Okay. So
Can you please put this in the book?
Yeah. So I wrote this wonderful nighttime summer scene, you know, where laser bolts that miss start little, you know, pine needles burning and, you know, all this sort of stuff. So it was a dark green forest and all of these things, right? And before I turn the manuscript in, they actually send me the cover flat, what the cover is really going to look like in color.
Okay.
It's a winter scene. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, a lot of you listeners are going, holy crap, you did a summer scene and now it's got to be a winter scene. You have to throw everything out and put it back.
No.
Instead of, you know, the pine needles are now covered with a dusting of snow. Instead of smoke, it's steam.
It's steam.
You know, someone else curses because it's cold. You know, someone else sees his breath. That's it. You know,
just probably, a little bit to make the scene work.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. 25 words in a chapter of 2,500 words. 1% of the words change or get added. And no one reading that scene, and there's a lot of you who've read that scene, you would never know that originally it was a summer scene.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know, the editing you have to do is relatively minor. The rewriting you have to do is relatively minor. If you just give it a chance to settle down,
mm-hmm,
and you find out where the story ends up, you do a revision to make sure that all of that stuff comes in. One of the things that you will hear us say over and over and over again is this is a cyclical process.
Yes.
You're just watching the wheel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it turns, it becomes a little bit more efficient. It becomes a little bit better. And that's what you want. So just remember, it's going to be a cycle. And interrupting the cycle, going ahead and doing the edits ahead of time, not going to benefit you. Just make a note, and you'll incorporate that note into your edits as you go along.
Gotcha. Interesting. So I guess the question is, we're kind of winding down, we're a little early, but what's my start point then? The question I have is, because we talked about this, I think, in the last show or earlier,
right,
in the show, is that I'm 12 years out on this.
Sure.
I do not remember enough of this story. Do I go ahead and get familiar with the story again? Or should I just pull the elements that I like? That, because here's the thing, is what has probably happened over the years is I have distilled down my favorite parts,
right,
of what,
right,
I think the story is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if I go with those pieces, that may be enough to build a foundation and do a rough draft off of without even reading the original work.
Okay. What I want you to do is this. I want you to sit down and type up or write out in sort of general outline form, you know, or just a listing of all the things that you remember very, very proudly, the things you like the best, the shining stars in your memory from that book.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, do that for the characters and for the book in general.
Okay.
Okay. So at the end of that process, you're probably going to have about 10 pages, say one for each of three or four characters.
Okay.
And the rest probably working on the book. And then the second thing I want you to do, and for listeners who are thinking about doing a book, you can do this with a book by your favorite author.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through and you can do a breakdown. And what we're going to do is we're going to do what I refer to as a scene inventory.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to go through the book. You're not going to reread the book per se. You're just going to go through and you're going to look at it and say chapter one, and you're going to line out the three things that happened in chapter one.
Okay.
You know, okay. And you're going to be able to skim it and see that. If you've read a book by an author, chances are you're going to be able to skim it and see it. Okay. And so I want to know what those three things are and just do them as single line items.
Okay.
But at the end of those single line items and for the chapter itself, I want you to label those with essentially a mood or content label. So this is highly technical. This is highly magical. This was a dark chapter.
Gotcha.
You know, dark, moody chapter. This was a happy chapter. You know, this was a challenging chapter. This is the romance chapter.
Gotcha.
You know, those things. So I want you to be able to basically get a sense through that scene inventory and how you label that, what the general flow of the book is. So
Gotcha. This
is an action chapter. It's really exciting. And it was remorseful because a character died.
Okay.
Okay. So that will give you a general handle on what the flow of things are and what the shape of things are. And what you'll be able to see then is here are key development points for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be too spread out. They may be too far apart. Or you may have too many combat chapters all in a row, and then nothing else happens in other places, and you want to even it out.
Gotcha.
And so you're going to get a sense of that novel, of how it moves, how it breathes, so that you can begin to adjust these things. And just like we were talking about changing a chapter from a summer scene into a winter scene, you'd really be surprised how easy it is to move a chapter back three or four chapters.
Oh, yeah.
And just change some of the links back and forth. But if you do those things, if we do what you talked about in the last show in getting a sense of the characters, do the breakdown of what you remember, you know, the things that you remember most strongly, and then you do that scene inventory, that's basically, as we were talking about before, that's deconstructing the house.
Yeah.
That's pulling all the pieces out. And you'll be able to go, okay, this is a good piece. I'm throwing it back in. This is a piece that needs to be changed. I need a new one. It needs to be better. You may decide that there are certain things that need to be expanded into whole chapters all by themselves, that sort of thing. But only by breaking it down into those component parts. Think of it like a puzzle. You already know what the picture is because you get the picture on a box.
Right.
Now you want to see how those pieces fit together.
Gotcha.
And so now you're breaking it out into all those little puzzle pieces.
Interesting. Okay. Good. Good. I can do that.
All right.
I can do that.
Excellent.
I'm kind of excited to get diving into this, actually, because this is the first time I've actually done any serious work on this thing.
Yeah.
Since the book came out. I mean, I went back in and my other thought on this was, okay, this thing's out. I'll just do the second one better, and then it's not going to matter. But it always mattered
because
the foundation wasn't right.
Yep.
I knew the foundation wasn't right in my head, and it killed the ability to do the next one.
Yep. And just so you know, doing the breakdown, breaking the book down, and stuff like that is stuff that I do. I just finished the second of the HSS novels. As I was approaching what I thought was going to be the ending, I knew instantly that ending chapter wasn't satisfying, you know, adjusted something, added an extra two chapters into the book. And now when I go back through and I'm doing my breakdowns, I'll also have to go back through and make sure that I've got the links earlier in the book that support all this later stuff. So this is something that, you know, I'm not just recommending that people do as they're just starting out. This is a set of tools that I use on an active basis,
right?
To make sure to get this stuff right.
Wow. Exciting stuff. Honestly, exciting stuff. I'm really diving into this.
Well, this is going to be really cool. And
time management is going to be tough.
I love seeing the grin on your face, though.
Time management is going to be tough. That's going to be my hardest issue to deal with is time management. But I'm going to report honestly on that as much as possible, too, because everybody's going to have that issue.
And I think the trick there, and we'll talk about this as we go throughout the year, as we watch your time management situation, is just setting yourself goals for how much you're going to try and get done in a week and making those goals realistic.
Yeah.
Because that's what too many people is like weight loss. Oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in a month.
No.
No, and then you become discouraged. You know? It's not going
to
work.
Yeah, that's it. And right now, looking at the whole body of what I have to do, it just seems overwhelming. So I've got to compartmentalize. I've got to break this down into smaller chunks that I know I can manage and handle. So
yeah. But hey, guys, just to let you know, I know Mike won't say this, but he has... he was telling me before the shows before we started recording today that he's gotten a lot of really good feedback, positive feedback from you guys who are looking forward to this journey and what he's doing, and that encouragement really counts for a lot.
Like yes, I say, it does.
Big grin on his face.
It
and
this really
is gonna
does.
Be very, very cool.
I was telling Mike before we started is you know it may end up I might actually sell more books in doing this than I ever did in 10 years of it being in print. So
well, there you go.
That is kind of my goal at this point.
Yep,
is to sell more just at the end of this in digital form,
and that is a worthy goal. So we'll work on time management. Next time we record, you can see what your time has been looking at. And granted, it's going to be through the holidays, so it's going to be messed up.
It is going to be messed up. So, but I'm going to see. I'm going to really work on trying to figure out what my time frame is and what are my pieces of ability to do this quietly and efficiently. And
good.
I think it's going to be evening.
Okay,
I really think so. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We will see you next year. Enjoy your holidays.
All right, bye-bye.